This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
Yes, it's Joy's international news and current affairs show, especially for and by the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Big thank you to T for the 6 at 6, but at 6:30, and Richard for the best in the latest local news. On the World Wide Wave panel tonight, we have Ian.
Good evening.
Hello, Stefan.
Good evening.
A special welcome to a guest presenter, Oliver.
Hello.
A shout out to Prue, who's visiting us tonight, and myself, Matt.
Now, it would be almost impossible for our listeners to be unaware of the unrest currently engulfing Hong Kong. In the streets, an extraordinary movement, a people movement, is fighting for what they see as their democratic future. Their mantra is be water, turn up, be noticed, then disappear without a trace. What's significant about this movement is that it is virtually leaderless.
When there's no leader, the role of spokespersons often falls to any person with profile. Enter openly lesbian Denise Ho, a Canton pop artist, Umbrella Movement veteran, and LGBT activist. Denise brought her experience, stories, and her passion for her native Hong Kong to Australia last week, and we had a chance to speak with her about the current situation and what it means for the LGBTQI community.
In 2012 at Hong Kong Pride, our guest Denise Ho made a very public statement. She came out as a lesbian, becoming one of the most prominent pop singers to declare their sexuality in Hong Kong. Whilst it wasn't a surprise to many people, even she didn't see how much that moment would determine the highs and the lows to come in her life. We started by asking Denise what has brought her to Australia.
I am in Australia. I have been here since the weekend, and I have been in Sydney and Melbourne, and mainly to talk about the issues that are going on in Hong Kong for the past 3 months, where the Hong Kong people have been on the streets in protest against the eroded system of the Hong Kong government and our democratic system. So it has been a somewhat of a sharing and also a discussion between myself and Australians and also some people who have emigrated from Hong Kong.
So how do Australians perceive the situation in Hong Kong? And what are the general perceptions? What's going on there?
I believe most of the people are quite concerned and aware of the situation that has been ongoing for the past 14 weeks. So as I have emphasized quite a bit, I do think that this situation in Hong Kong, where we are fighting for our freedom, it really is not a isolated situation which Hong Kong is facing with the Communist Party. It is something that is happening in the global world, where we are seeing the sort of power and the reach of the Chinese influences going into different communities. We have seen clashes between Chinese students and Hong Kong students in Melbourne and in different universities in Australia, and also we have had difficulties finding a venue in Melbourne, me and the Chinese artist Ba Du Cao, and they have declined our request for a venue out of security concerns, or even they have claimed that we are talking about sensitive issues. And it is quite concerning, given that we are in a world where we are supposedly progressing in these universal values and human rights, but now we are seeing different countries and communities self-centering themselves on these issues. And actually, just very recently, there have been Hong Kong activists who have been banned from a gay pride in Montreal.
That's appalling.
Just two weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so that is absolutely shocking to hear, as I am someone who has grown up in Montreal. And the Montreal that I knew is a very diversified and accepting city.
So Denise, can you just maybe explain what that story is? What did happen at Montreal Pride that you understand?
So there have been Hong Kong activists who wanted to participate in the gay pride in Montreal. And I believe those were also gay activists. And then they have received threats from the Chinese community there, saying that they would come to attack them and or to protest against them. So instead of dealing with these people, the Chinese community who have claimed to be using violence, they dealt with it in a very unacceptable manner. The organizers of the gay pride, they asked for these Hong Kong activists to just not come. They have banned them from the gay pride. So, of course, they said it's because of security measures, because there were, I think, Justin Trudeau, he was there. And so they just avoided the problem just by asking the Hong Kong activists to not come to the gay pride. So I think that is totally unacceptable. And you see this kind of intimidation or even pressure from the Chinese government that is working in different ways. And it is taking its toll in the global community.
The fight for Hong Kong going around the world there. That's lesbian canto pop singer and activist Denise Ho from Hong Kong. What started, I guess, Oliver, what started as an extradition bill, Denise there called it fighting for our freedom. Is she overstepping that, do you think?
First of all, the extradition bill was meant to extradite fugitives in Hong Kong to Chinese regions, including Taiwan, from the Hong Kong government's claim for trial. But what people don't really trust is the judiciary system in China. And Hong Kong have our own independent judiciary, and having this bill means that it's compromising the base value that defines our identity, which is independent judiciary.
And the first, I guess that bill was the first demand of the protests. There's five demands. What are the other ones?
Yeah, that includes establishing a independent police inquiry that's not interfered by the Hong Kong government, and it is to hold all public officers into the account after so many incidents of brutality have already been documented. And then it was to drop to dismiss the categorizations of the protests as riots, because people are protesting, people were not rioting. Then is to actually promote like universal suffrage, because Hong Kong still do not have a fully democratic system. We have an illiberal democratic system where we can vote for 40 out of 75 legislative councillors, but we can't even vote for our chief executive, which is the leader of our region. And then that it also, which is the extradition law,
Now, we've got a heap more coming up with our guest Denise Ho, including the impacts on the LGBTI community. In fact, coming up, we're taking you inside the Melbourne Forum, where Denise spoke to last week and spoke very candidly and openly about politics, activism and the future of Hong Kong. You're on Worldwide Wave.
Hello and goedenavond. This is Elko, listening in from the Netherlands on Worldwide Wave, the latest LGBT news and current affairs on joy.org.au.
This shouldn't have to sound.
shouting.
Shouting, that was Shout with from Tears for Fears. And Ian, there's a reason for this track, isn't it?
There is, apart from we all love the 80s, don't we?
Of course.
Yeah. But this track was one of several video montages that were put together at the Be Water event in Melbourne last week, and protest songs, I guess. So there was this wonderful footage, wasn't there, Oliver, that was put together through this.
Yeah.
Quite disturbing parts of it as well, but really empowering.
Very graphic. Yeah.
Have you got a thought, an opinion? What's your experience of Hong Kong and what's going on there now? Send us your thoughts. 0427 Joy 949 is the SMS, or on air at joy.org.au.
Now, raising international awareness and support of the fight for democracy in Hong Kong is seen as crucial to the long-term value to the region. Seeking support from the Australian community, including Hong Kong and Chinese-born people, is what brought Denise Ho to Melbourne last week. Coincidentally, the public forum was held on the day that Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam, announced that she would begin the process to withdraw the contentious bill we were just talking about that started the recent unrest. Here's what Denise Ho had to say on the night about that response.
Yes, so we have heard the news today, and we are not satisfied with this response from the government. As we all know, we have been in this protest since early June. We are in the third month of the protest. And why has the government only given this response after these 90 days of protest, where we have seen the police violence escalating into really a sort of police state right now, where they have been given full authority to deal with the protesters, with the government having been hidden behind them for the past almost 90 days. And so this sort of tactic is very common from the Hong Kong government, where they try to calm the people by responding to, you know, one of the very few demands. And our five demands have been very clear from the beginning, which is for the extradition bill to be removed, withdrawn, the independent investigative council to be formed, for the riot label to be removed, and these so-called arrests are rioters to have asylum from embassy from the Hong Kong government, and also for the universal suffrage to restarted the whole process of getting to that point. So we do not consider this as any kind of victory, because we know that this is something a very tactical move from the Hong Kong government.
I want to ask, you know, Denise, how is your mental health? Third one, because I think this is going to be a long, long fight. So when I watch a lot of documentaries, you know, like the Four Corner one, I hear young people say about, you know, they will die for this cause. I find it very shocking. And how do you think we can do better to promote better mental health so people can keep on fighting? Because this is a long fight. It's not just only one fight only. So this is my question.
Well, first of all, I think we should all meditate.
No, I'm serious, because my mental health is fine, thank you very much. I do make a note to keep it in this very balanced state, where my method really is very simple. I do meditate every day, and I do study Buddhism, and so I have this sutra that helps me a lot, and that puts things in perspective for me. The sutra, if anyone wants to, is Gong Gong Geng. Yeah. I have a song in that name, but it's nothing related. But I do spend the time. I do spend time with myself, at least 15 minutes per day, to really to refocus on things, because it's very easy to get driven away with all the emotions, especially when you're on site in Hong Kong, when things are happening at full speed, where it's difficult to keep that kind of calm, which I don't think calm means you're being weak. It's really when you have that calm, it's easier for you to reflect on the possibilities in these situations. So, and that is, you know, the mental health issue is really something that we are facing right now in Hong Kong, where there are a lot of youngsters who are having difficulties with these emotions. A lot of them are depressed and or either very, very angry. And so I believe that, you know, this is really something that we have to address. And
that's Hong Kong LGBTI activist Denise Ho. Oliver, you're a co-presenter tonight, and we were talking there about mental health and what the impact is on those activists. What's your experience? Do you think that people are going through a difficult time who are involved in activism?
People definitely struggle, I would have to say. Like, even people who are not activists, they have been crying every day. It's like, they've been taking phone calls after phone calls. Someone, like, tried to, like, have a suicidal ideation. People were like, oh, I don't know what to do with this. Like, I don't know, how could I help? And I guess, like, there's a... We know that there's a spiral of, like, depression, spiral of anxiety of this society would become, especially this where they belong and where they love.
So where would you say, you're close to some people in the activist movement, what would you feel is a good way for people to reach out and seek support in coming from a Hong Kong background?
Yeah, I do think that, like, these days with advanced technology, we tend to see graphic videos and graphic images really easily, especially there is a redundance of those in these movement. So I guess that, like, my personal kind of approach to this is usually just to set boundary with social media, because, like, what we see those videos and we felt anxious, and sometimes you just need to take a break.
You took Facebook off your phone, didn't you, a few days ago?
Yes, I did. Which I was kind of naughty that I kind of go back and forth sometimes, but in general, that it helps. It does help a lot. So I'm quite grateful that I took that decision. But I do install Twitter, which is not too helpful.
So, Oliver, yeah. You are a long way from home, and I guess watching the same sorts of things we see on television. How do you feel about your homeland right now?
I don't know. Like, sometimes, because you see that the protests are in every single suburbs and districts, and I saw one of them that was actually happening in my suburbs, and, like, it was just like 10 minutes away from where I live, or like 15 minutes away, and I saw the scenes. I felt like my home was decimated, and that's really, really concerning. And when you identify people in the footage or whatever, those are people that you went to school with, and that's really traumatizing for me.
You did also mention before about the way this leaderless group communicates and votes on things. Tell us a bit about the voting, the very, very democratic process these protests are being undertaken.
Yeah, so I'm not in Hong Kong, so I couldn't represent the house of how people use it, but within my friend's group, they tend to use Telegram, which is an encrypted message applications. So you can actually install it in Australia as well. But what it does is that, like, it creates a really safe platform for people to exchange information, especially, like, where the police are, how do I exit, and those informations. In the meantime, people also have different, like, polls on the app, or sometimes it's on an online forum that people just upvote or downvote on certain movements. For example, whether we should crush into this, which suburb should we go next? And sometimes people will use AirDrop. If you have an iPhone, they will just drop in the protest zone and say the next one we are going to that location. So these are the, like, how advanced technology has been interplayed into resistance.
We're also hearing rumors that there is a poll going on at the moment regarding the police and the demands of the police. So there's currently a demand that there be an independent inquiry into their actions, but is there a push for that to go further?
I guess that, like, in a general consensus, police brutality have reached a new height after the 21st of August, when a bunch of anti-riot police entered a metro carriage and attacked passenger indiscriminately. And that's really caused into concern whether actually having an independent commission will be strong enough to put those public officers into account. So there are some rumors or there are some arguments suggesting that we should totally disband the police force altogether and we established the Hong Kong Police Force. But however,
that's really radical for us here in Australia. Yeah. But am I hearing that that's not as big an issue?
In the colonial period, they have been done before too, because there was major corruptions with the police force in Hong Kong. To clean up that image, police force was disbanded once, and that's to clean up their reputation. So you've done before.
Coming up, we are going to explore what this means for the LGBTI community and LGBTI rights in Hong Kong. You're on the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. It's Worldwide Wave.
This is Douglas.
And this is Paula.
From Kaleidoscope Australia Human Rights Foundation, keeping a watchful eye on LGBTI rights across Asia and the Pacific.
On the Worldwide Wave.
Now, we're having a great conversation tonight, talking to Denise Ho in an interview, and we've got Oliver here in the studio. We were just talking about some possibly disturbing issues around mental health and suicide. So I want to give out the number for Lifeline, which is 131114. That's 131114 for Lifeline. And there's the Beyond Blue helpline as well. That's 1-300-224-636. If you are concerned, if you know someone who's concerned, seek help.
With such public unrest in Hong Kong, is there any room for discussions about advancing LGBTQI rights in this conservative society? We asked Denise what has been the reaction from the Hong Kong's queer community.
Well, really, this is an issue that concerns everyone in Hong Kong and not only particular communities. But of course, the LGBTQ community has always been discriminated by the Hong Kong government because we don't really have any protection coming from the gay rights issues that we have been trying to push ahead. And so the government, they are very conservative and they are very pro-Beijing. And so, of course, there are huge difficulties for Hong Kong LGBTQ rights to be pushed ahead. And so we haven't really faced any discrimination in this particular movement as in these 3 months. There haven't been attacks only on the gay community, but still I think this is something that we are all aware of. And you know, anytime these kind of censorship could come, because we can see these businesses and even institutes in Hong Kong really distancing themselves from any sort of so-called trouble that the Hong Kong protesters might cause them.
Denise, you've been quite famous in 2000s when you were a pop, Canton pop star, and you came out in 2012. What brings you from a pop star, then a queer activist, then now a democratic activist?
Frankly speaking, my coming out in 2012 was a very, very important first step for me as an activist. And in the process of learning about the whole legislative system in Hong Kong and realizing that we have a very rigged system that is very in favor of the Hong Kong government. And so with having taken that step, I reviewed and removed the last mask that I had towards the public. And so that was very liberating. And at that time, I actually received a lot of support from the Hong Kong society and also even from Chinese communities. And I wasn't banned from China back then. But then, of course, in 2014, I was involved and participated in the umbrella movement in Hong Kong. And so because that was directly criticizing the way that the Beijing government is exercising their powers onto the Hong Kong government. So at that time, I was banned and also blacklisted by China. And so since then, I haven't been able to go into China, and all my songs and even my name are censored on Chinese social media and internet. And so 5 years later, right now, I am increasingly involved in these issues as we are in an extradition bill movement, really a fight for freedom in Hong Kong, where there are no leaders, and there's a very decentralized movement. So in that situation, I guess I have become one of the more recognizable faces of the, one of the participants in this movement. And so I have been invited to different platforms and interviews by the press and even to the UN in Geneva in the past month, where I have spoken to just to really get the voices of Hong Kongers heard on the international platform.
As we know that this movement is a leaderless movement, so from your perspective, how can we engage people into the movement, and or something what you want to say to people who are quite hesitant in joining the movement?
This is a very widespread movement where I guess anyone who really cares about Hong Kong and cares about freedom and human rights would automatically join in. So there have been numbers of marches where we had 1 million people and then 2 million people and then 1.7 million people on the street. But really, I think we are not limited to this number. We have the support of Hong Kongers from overseas, and those are probably also in the millions. And so I do believe that this is a very historic moment in Hong Kong where people are previously very indifferent, a politically indifferent society, which is Hong Kong. Now they have been all awakened, especially the young generation. They are participating without anyone pushing them to do so, only out of love for their city and their homes.
Denise, you're focusing on the democracy issues in Hong Kong. For the LGBT issues, which you started out with, does that mean that they take a back seat, or can you not do one without the other?
Yes, it is the reality right now. For the past 7 years, which I have come out, we have tried very hard to push ahead LGBTQ rights, but really we have bumped into quite a lot of high walls. And so we have come to the realization that without real democracy, without a chief executive that is elected by the people, we really cannot do much about LGBTQ rights. So in that context, me and also another singer who has come out publicly, Anthony Wong, we have both been very involved in the pro-democracy movement during the Umbrella Movement in 2014 and this year. And so we see that as a very, very long battle where we really need to do it like step by step, because there really is no skipping ahead of these democratic issues in face of this huge war that is the Chinese and Communist government.
Tonight we've been talking to Kanto pop artist and Umbrella Movement veteran and LGBT activist Denise Ho. Oliver, tell us about the Big Love Alliance that Denise set up. What was that about?
She was part of the Big Love Alliance, where it's composed by a lot of high-profile Hong Kong people, including another artist, Anthony Wong, and also you have like academics and a bit of everyone who has been quite high profile in Hong Kong and been quite supportive of gay marriage and anti-discrimination bill at the time. But it didn't really go forward because the anti-discrimination bill have been vetoed many times in the Legislative Council. So unfortunately, Hong Kong still does not have any sort of anti-discrimination legislations, not to mention gay marriage.
It is interesting, though, that the alliance, allies are an important part of advancing LGBT rights. We see in a lot of countries in Africa where they have really poor LGBT rights, by linking with women's groups and ethnic minorities, any minority really, by linking, banding together, they're sort of able to get enough of a voice to be able to make change. Can you see allies coming to the fore?
You mean like in about
for like, the queer community?
For the queer community, definitely. And I see that, like, especially led by like artists, like who are quite high profile, they're usually quite helpful. Like my mom would actually tell me that, like, the reason why she thinks that homosexuality is okay is because Ricky Martin came out.
So it's not because of you, it's because of Ricky Martin.
Yes, because of Ricky Martin, because like she thinks, oh, he's so hot, he's so masculine. And my son could be like that too, you know? Like, obviously, I probably won't be looking like Ricky Martin.
We might have to get you to stand up and swing your hips around and swivel or do
shake
a
boom, boom.
And then we did also see, actually, there were three speakers at that event last week. One, and all three of them actually made a link to LGBT issues, which I thought was interesting. We spoke to, who was the artist who was there?
Ba Diu Cao.
And he's developed a rainbow flag.
Yes.
Yeah, it's with post-it notes, but it's coloured. And he spoke to us, and we were on the Informal last week, about how that flag's been inspired by the rainbow flag movement, and that was a protest movement. So there are all of these links between different advocacy groups, different advocacy causes.
Yeah, it does. And especially in these leaderless movement that we are seeing in Hong Kong, you see that so many vulnerable or disadvantaged groups have stepped up. They were like migrant groups, there were a lot of women in the movement. Like in the past, usually social movement is a men's world, but now we see so many movement who are at the front line of the protest, and this is on one hand, it is bad that everyone have to come out because like it is an oppressive regime for everyone right now. But in the meantime, you see the consolidation of civil society that includes everyone.
I want to throw something out to everybody because Denise is sort of saying, and I understand there's so much unrest, there's so much happening, it's very hard for LGBT rights to even get a look in, but she's sort of saying that we need the democracy first. We need a chief executive who is going to allow for that change before we can progress rights. Wouldn't it be a statement for Hong Kong to actually legislate something like marriage equality? Wouldn't that be a statement to China that we are different?
I guess that like Hong Kong is still quite conservative in general. That's why even some centrist politicians in Hong Kong will still veto for the bill. It's because that like a lot of people we are still really influenced by both the conservative end of Western values and the Chinese values. For example, you can have people who have been quite invested in different religions in Hong Kong, especially some religions have been quite like condemn homosexuality in general. You got that of insurance. In the meantime, you also get like the whole Chinese culture of being, you have to have a kid, you have to continue your ancestral line, that kind of ideations. So that's why when these two interplay, the society can be quite conservative, even though we are legislatively different, we are self-governing or like autonomous region in that sense. Unfortunately, conservatism is everywhere.
That's the voice of Oliver, our special guest presenter tonight, and our guest Denise Ho. Coming up, we've got Worldwide Rap.
地上人来耕种，不止一种过去，现在未来需要珍重，不需一把尺去辨别有用，还有一种有家，但是无求的勇。 来吧，微笑到发现动人。 就是这样，何妨天生了却未再富有天样，谁人让烟花灿烂换来花香。
You're listening to Worldwide Wave, and Oliver, who's that?
That's Denise, my childhood idol, actually. I suppose my age, so. Yeah, so this song is called Siyao Zhongyan. What that means is that there's always a kind of people who work hard, who dare to dream, and who fight. So it's a really, really good message to have, especially, actually sang that song in the event, isn't it, Ian?
Yeah, that was amazing. That was amazing.
Now, we just had a couple of messages come in on Facebook about that story, the comic books, comic book heroes in Rio who were kissing in the... basically, the court has ruled that the mayor has acted inappropriately. Selena says, that man needs to grow up, and William is a little more blunt in the 21st century. How effed? Blunt as a bat. A big thank you to our guest tonight, Canto pop artist, Umbrella Movement veteran and LGBT activist Denise Ho. You can find out lots more about Denise and her fantastic music and her activism. Just search for her on your favourite social media platform.
Thank you for messages from on Facebook, Alicia, Virginia, Johnny, Vanita, and a heap more who've interacted with us on Facebook this week. And get those messages in on W3Joy on Facebook.
And behind the scenes, our podcaster Alex and social media master Dean.
Now, also to our special guests here in the studio tonight, Prue, thanks for joining us. And Oliver, before you go, you've got a message for all the Hong Kongers out there.
Yes, I do. We know that we have 5 demands. Maybe you have taken one down, but we have 4 more to go. 5大訴求缺一不可, 香港人加油.
Coming up, we've got Bad Gays with Helen and Alex. For anybody who doesn't quite fit the stereotype, and tonight they're talking all things Fringe Festival with a meme, Stole My Girlfriend. That's coming up here on Joy, taking us out some more great music.
Kirsty McCall with Children of the Revolution.
Catch you next week on World Wide Wave.
Some live on the south side and they overlook the water. Some live on the north side and they're looking at the border. And those children of the revolution see the soldiers come, smiling at the widow.
songs. Children of the revolution shot down with a brand new gun. They're dropping down like flies and in their eyes the images of war are in their eyes. They've seen it all before and know no lies. Won't keep their bellies full in love and war. There are no rules. Children of the revolution, getting off the boat to face the ignorance and prejudice that keep this land afloat. Children of the revolution, make a brand new start. Running through the rubble of a thousand broken hearts and in their eyes. All promises are broken in their eyes. The words that can't be spoken end your life. Don't keep their bellies full in love and war. There are no rules but in their eyes. Murder comes by sea and from the skies. It's shiny and it's quick to take their lives. And if it's cruel in love and war, there are no rules. Sells a gun and someone blows them all away, yeah. Children of the revolution, sold out by the banks, who swap the green upon the dollars for the green upon the tanks. Children of the revolution, shot down by a brand new gun. Shot down by a brand new gun.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online across the world at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.